unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Day five turning into night five here at the U.S. Open. I'm Brian Clark, joined now by Steve Flink on U.S. Open Radio, presented by American Express. Steve, we are watching Novak Djokovic practice in Arthur Ashe Stadium right now. Not what anybody expected, but it's what we're watching here at a few minutes past 5 o'clock because his opponent, Mikhail Eugenie, had to retire after just six games in the opening set. Second straight match where Djokovic barely had to play. Jiří Veselý withdrew before the match, the second round match even began. Now Djokovic may as well get another walkover against Eugenie. He's into the round of 16 having played one match. Is that good or bad?
I think that considering that the trouble he was having in the in his first round match when he played Jiří Janowicz, that and he was really having two problems, left wrist, which he had coming into the tournament, right arm, which started up on him here, that it was good to have one match be a default of Veselý. Today, I think he really could have used a little more tuning up. On the other hand, maybe this will allow him to put less strain on that right arm. I did see, Brian, that watching those six games that they played today, serving a little bit harder. He got one in at 122. That's more what we expect from him. He was having a lot of trouble breaking 120 miles an hour on that first serve in the first round. And so maybe the arm is slightly better. But he needs, no doubt, starting the round of 16, he needs real matches. To play six games after the first round in combined in two matches is ridiculous.
He'll play the winner of John Isner and Kyle Edmund in the fourth round. The winner of that match in the quarterfinals will play the winner of Jack Sock and Joe Wilfried Tsonga, both men winning in straight sets. Let's start with Jack Sock. Very impressive against the seventh seed Marin Cilic, who a lot of people thought was very capable of a deep run here.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's only once before, Brian, at the French last year, been in the round of 16 at a major, Jack Sock, and he's had kind of a disappointing time of it. His ranking has lingered in the mid-20s, and, you know, he's sort of stuck at 26, 27 in the world and not moving for him. That's where he ended last year. That's where he is right now. This is a big win for him, to be sure, because he came back from two sets to love down to beat Cilic in Davis Cup earlier in the summer, said he learned something from that comeback. Something tactical happened. Something clicked in his mind. And today, he served really well, Brian, throughout the match. He mixed it up. There were times he was hitting bigger second serves, and he hit his first serve of 99 and follow it with a second serve at 115. Cilic really never knew what was coming at him. The mixture on the serve confounded Cilic to the point where he never had a break point in three sets. And that, I'm sure, surprised him. And Sock got one break in each set against Cilic over on Louis Armstrong Stadium. And it was a terrific performance. And I hope he can follow up on it. But now maybe he finally is ready to make a move.
And we will see if he can do that on Sunday against Joe Wilfried Tsonga, who beat Kevin Anderson 6-3, 6-4, 7-6. Another American who was a surprising runner to the third round, Ryan Harrison, ousted at the hands of Marcus Baghdatis. It seemed like the way Harrison lost that second set, where he really had it almost within his grasp, let it go. That was kind of his death knell. He lost in four.
Unfortunate, because you know he did a nice job to finish off an injured Milos Raonic the other day. He qualified for this tournament, didn't get a wild card, which many people thought he would. Qualifies, doesn't lose a set in the qualifying, has a nice straight set win in the first round, four sets over Raonic, and I thought he was going to come through and beat Baghdatis today. And you're right, the second set was the key. He had a big opportunity to win it. Should have been able to serve that set out and get to one set all. Once he lost that in a tiebreak, he was in trouble.
Did come back to win the third set, but lost in four. Baghdatis right now plays the winner between Gael Monfils and Nicolas Almagro. They're slugging it out right now on the grandstand. We're keeping an eye on that. We'll head over there in a little bit. Monfils up two sets to love, and Almagro down a break point, trying to avoid going down 2-3 in this third set. So we'll keep an eye on that. On the women's side of things, we've got to start with Madison Keys and how she came back from 5-1 down in the third set on Ash to beat Naomi Osaka of Japan. Unbelievable.
It was. I mean, it was a strange match. A tight first set to Keys. She loses the second 6-4. and then 5-1 down in the third. But the interesting thing to me, Brian, is she won six games in a row. She went from 5-1 down to 6-5 up, and in that sequence, she only lost 7 points. So it wasn't as if she had any real. Then Osaka held on to make it get into a tiebreak, but from 2-1 down in the tiebreak, it was all keys. She lost only one more point. And I thought it was just a question of survival. That's all it was today. She really didn't play great tennis, and she didn't play that spectacularly in the comeback. She reduced her errors, came up with a couple of great returns in the tiebreak that really allowed her to pull away. But I think this was more about her opponent not being ready to meet the moment, to step up and say, I can actually do this. Because a lot of players, we see them put themselves on the verge of a big win, and they don't know how to get across the finish line. And that's really what happened today.
And on the other hand, does that make it more impressive for Madison Keys as she continues to mature? And you talk about being ready for the moment where she wasn't at her best and she didn't necessarily produce her best tennis during that comeback, but she found a way to win and survive.
It's a good effort. Listen, I don't want to come across like I'm not appreciating what she did. She showed a lot of poise. It's still hard. You still have to make sure you don't beat yourself. She could easily have done that, especially with her big hitting game. But she didn't allow that to happen. She saw that she had an opponent who at that point was self-destructing, and she kept a lot of balls in play. And that was impressive. But obviously, she's got to elevate her game in the rounds ahead. You know, if she plays somebody more experienced and gets down 5-1 in the third, she won't escape.
And she'll have an experienced opponent in the fourth round, Caroline Wozniacki, who
right.
lost the first set of her first round match to Taylor Townsend. Since then, has not dropped a set. 6-3, 6-1 over Monica Niculescu today in the first match on Ash.
See, now that's a fascinating match because it's Madison Keys, big hitter, explosive, hits lots of winners off both sides, has one of the best serves in women's tennis against Wozniacki, who, when she's right, is like a backboard, runs down everything, terrific defensive player. And she really makes you beat her. So again, if that had been Carolyn out there today, could have been a very different story. But I do think that could be a very close, hard-fought three-set clash based on form. Because as you pointed out, Carolyn, since the opening set there in the first round, she's really rounded into form. And I don't think many people thought we'd see her in the round of 16 here, but here she is. And I think we're going to have a very compelling clash between Carolyn and Madison in that match.
The winner of that will move to the quarterfinals, where they will face either Johanna Konta or Anastasia Sevastova. It's hard to believe Konta is the more experienced player in that group, but she is. Right now we're hearing Novak Djokovic again hitting on Ash. He advanced after his opponent, Mikhail Eugenie, had to retire after just six games in their opening set. So Djokovic through to the round of 16. As are back on the women's side, Konta and Sevastova. Sevastova following up her big win over Muguruza by dispatching Bondarenko. She'll take on Konta, who looked very, very good. 6-2, 6-1 over Belinda Bencic.
Yeah, that's Bencic, unfortunately, a slumping player at the moment, but I like the way Konta is performing, and I like her chances to win that match. She's had a nice tournament, and she's striking the ball very well.
And then in the other quarter, in the women's side, Roberta Vinci moves through.
Yes, I saw some of that. That was a strange match, Brian, today, because she won the first set 6-love. And served for the match at 5-4 in the second, had 40 love, and lost that not only that game but the set. And then went up 3-1 in the third, and before she knew it, it was 3-all, and she pulled away in the end. So it was gritty in the end, but I think she was in a little bit of a state of shock that she didn't close out the match in the second set when it was right there for the taking.
That was against Karina Witthoeft of Germany.
So yes, and Karina, a very big girl, by the way, very tall, very strong, flat ball hitter, Brian, and so that made life difficult at times for Roberta Vinci, but in the end, Vinci used her experience and it pulled her through.
So Vinci is through to take on Lisa Cerenko, who took down Dominika Sibulkova. An impressive win for Cerenko, who lost the first set and then came back and won 6-3, 6-4 in the second and third sets. And then tonight we'll learn the other two fourth rounders from that quarter. It'll be Kvitova against Svitolina, and then the match on Ash between the second-seeded Angelique Kerber and the very young American 17-year-old CeCe Bellis. That's the featured match tonight. Bellis has not shied away from the big moment, but this is a very big moment. At night, under the lights on Ash against the world number two, what should we expect from CeCe Bellis?
Well, CeCe Bellis has got a lot of spunk. I think she doesn't strike me as a player who's afraid to face people with larger reputations and big wins. And here's Kerber, the Australian Open champion, the Wimbledon finalist, finalists at the Olympic Games, Cincinnati in the finals. She's had quite a record this year. But I know, I think Bellis will go out there, and she's a crowd pleaser. We've seen that from her here over the last couple of years here. She's really a crowd pleaser, and I think she'll enjoy it, and I think she'll feel like she's got nothing to lose. So I expect her to play well. Can she beat Kerber, and does she have it in her to win two sets off Angelika Kerber? I don't think so. Does she have it in her to win a set? Possibly. Possibly.
That's the second match of the night on Ash. Rafa Nadal and Andrei Kuznetsov get things going. So Nadal trying to move on to the fourth round, just like Novak Djokovic. And one thing a lot of these top men have in common, the way the draw worked out, especially with Roger Federer not here, none of the big guys really have that difficult of a path, maybe, to the semifinals.
Yeah, good point. I think you're right about that. And I think in Nadal's case, I've thought all along the draw was good for him, Brian. Yes, Kuznetsov to play Bautista Guder Puy, and to play maybe Monfils in the quarters or Baghdatis. I mean, Monfils is a tough, long, physical match, but it's definitely in Rafa's favor. He's lost to him a couple of times, but he's got a big winning record over him. So, again, I felt all along, even when Raonic was still in the tournament, that Rafa would be in the semis. Djokovic's draw is also good, although I have to say, you look at that next round, that is dangerous if he plays Isner. Not Edmund, but if he plays Isner, he's had some struggles. He's lost him once at Indian Wells. I've seen him, and another hard court loss as well. I've seen him lose twice to him on hard courts, tight, long matches that went down to the wire in the final set. But that's with John serving really big. Now, the problem for Isner in that match, Brian, if they play, is that he to do it over best of five, I've seen him win those best of three hard court matches against Novak, but to keep serving that well over best of five, unless he were to somehow get a commanding two-set lead, I think it's going to be tough. But that's where we'll really find out how, if Novak is able to round into form after hardly hitting playing these six games today and not even having to hit a ball in the second round. I'd like to see it, though. Crowd again, Isner will have a different crowd reception than he had against Francis Tiafoe in the first round.
Yeah, where Isner was not bothered, but you could tell impacted by the support that Tiafoe, his fellow American, was getting. Isner has enjoyed the crowd support for a while here. He'll probably have more of it in 17 minutes when he takes the court on Armstrong against Great Britain's Kyle Edmund. What do you expect in that match?
He's had a very good run here. He hasn't lost a set. You know, for a guy ranked 84 in the world, you're not expecting that, and he's done quite well. And he played a somewhat injured, apparently, Richard Gasquet, and won that easily. Won his next match in straight, 5-4-4. But I don't know whether he can do much. There's very few guys that can return that John Isner serve. So therefore, you're probably looking at a few tie breaks. And I think Isner gained, Brian, a lot of confidence by winning two critical tie breaks in that first-round match over Francis Tiafoe. The first one, when he was down two sets, he won in the third set tiebreak, and then again in the fifth set tiebreak. So I feel like Isner, maybe he's got to get through some tiebreaks, but I like his chances against Edmund, and that'll be interesting. And then, of course, what do you think, what are your thoughts on Sanga Sak?
That's going to be very exciting on Sunday, because we've seen the capability of Jack Sock. And I did an interview, a radio interview a few days ago, where the host asked, okay, so on the American side, we know this isn't a prime time for American men, but which American man is most capable of going on a long run here? Is it John Isner? It was kind of a leading question. I said, I actually would say Jack Sock, because...
Well, good call. Good call.
Dang, I'm glad I have the blessing of tennis expert Steve Flink, but it's... No, it's... And now see if you agree with my logic that Sock is just... When he's on and hitting his shots, which we saw today he's capable of doing, his ceiling is higher than Isner's ceiling. It's just a matter of him getting to that point.
Yeah, I hear you. I definitely hear you overall. It's obviously John's got more experience on big occasions, but working against him is his. Although there have been a couple of retirements from Sock here where his conditioning has let him down. Overall, day in, day out, I think he's fitter than John Isner. And so he has that working in his favor, and he's younger, much younger. And I can see why you made that. Was a very astute prediction on your part. But I don't know quite what to expect from him against Sanga. Sanga's in good form, beating Anderson in straight. He's rolling along nicely here. He's only lost one set in his three matches. So I think that Sock will have a lot more trouble, oddly, breaking Joe Willie Tsonga than he did breaking Marin Cilic today. That may sound strange, but Tsonga has a very underrated first serve. He moves better than Isner. He's a great athlete, and I think that match could be potentially a five-set battle between Tsonga and Jack Sock.